Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
You're so worthy. We ask for new revelation of your goodness, that we would see your hand in every area of our life. We ask you to send us into places where we can release your presence. For invitations to go against the norms of our culture and to share the truth that sets all men free. And most of all, we thank you for what you're doing among this body of believers. We're seeing your kingdom come among us. We're seeing the overflow go out and show your love to people. People all across our society and even other parts of the world. Let your love grow and overflow in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming out. It's great to see everybody. Hey, Mark. What's up? A couple quick announcements this morning, and I'll start with this. Way back, not too long ago, I don't want to sound too old, I had this course in a place called Bible College. It was our first year of marriage, and the course was called The Upside Down Kingdom, and it was about all the things that God says to do that kind of go against what's accepted. And one of the biggest things, you know, a good example is give and it shall be given unto you. You know, it doesn't make sense in the world's kingdom that if you give it all away, that God's going to bring it back to you when you need it, how you need it, different ways. And so one thing I would like to say, and I was just thinking about it this morning, you know, even as we were worshiping, we're like in an upside down kingdom moment. And I want to explain that to you because there's been kind of some things going on, you know, that have been amazing, and we don't really know the effect that we're having, but us as a small body of believers, we've been coming up big and impacting the community around us. Some of it has happened through the sheer creativity of the people here and the Holy Spirit. Some of it is just because some of you are so generous. But, you know, for example, and I need to share this with you, some of you missed out. Bingo is a very serious game. I was shocked at how serious bingo is. You know, and there was a small, this was kind of like the trial of bingo. We were kind of getting a feel for it. I don't know if you guys know, but Alan is such a gifted bingo caller. I mean, he's anointed to operate in that area. Although that said, if someone else feels anointed, I'm sure he would share the role and position. He's not guarding his bingo caller position.
Spin.
We're going to get you an electric one. You're going to push a button and a ball's going to come out. That'd be good. All right. Anyway, through a small trial round of bingo, we were able to raise $600. It was for Morningstar Maternity Home. Yeah, so, I mean, that is amazing. Also, a whole load of stuff went over. Did it go?
No, it's the
last one. Yeah, we got to tell them what happened. See, they may not know because there was stuff that went away, and that's all new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you look close, you'll see that. But I was like, wait, we're giving to somebody else now? Because I was like, oh, okay.
What's the category?
We're going to get there.
Oh.
Yeah. So we went from, we were given to Keystone, breakfast items and baking supplies. There was a couple of bags of chocolate chips that nearly didn't make it to Keystone. Because once you walk by them the 100th time, you want to eat them. Anyway, so, but they went. I didn't do that. So now we're collecting personal health care products for women and children, diapers and wipes. And this is going to go to Morningstar Maternity Home. Now, there's a whole list over there of items. There's a list. And there's a couple items that Tiffany would like you to sign up for. Do you want to share what those items are now or at a later time?
There's a list over there with a pen. So all of the things that Matt mentioned we're collecting. They also have some very specific needs that it doesn't make sense for more than one person to get, like a new set of pots and pans, baking dishes, leftover containers, things like that for the maternity homes. There's two of them here in Sourdough. So the list is right there. There's a pen. If you'd like to sign up for one of the things, please do. We'd love to be able to continue to give to them, you know, generously. Wash baskets, a blood pressure monitor, things like that. So.
And the Morningstar Maternity Home is a Christian nonprofit crisis pregnancy home operated by Morningstar Ministries of the North Penn area, and it offers a positive alternative to abortion.
Yeah. So for those of you that have been wishing you could do something about it, here's how you can. How fun would it be to buy the pots and pans that are going to bless probably hundreds of mothers until their lifetime, not the mothers, the pans' lifetime expires. You know, so that's pretty awesome. All right, so online Bible study Tuesdays at 8 p.m. If you haven't gotten on there yet, you might want to check it out. The Zoom ID is 869-3414-4657. For those of you in the room, you can pick it up over there on that blue paper. 869-3414-4657. For those of you listening online, if you have questions about that, you can contact Bob by email at bob@dwellatthewell.com. Also, if you ever have any concerns about messages, Bob will field those questions. That would be awesome. So, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, there is a tea party for the ladies here at the church. So I'll just make the announcement for the ladies. There is a secret meeting for the men. If you need to know about the secret meeting, you should see our bingo caller. He's got the down low on the secret meeting, and we will work that out. All right, so if you brought something to give, I want to pray over that. The Lord's been so good to us in this space and in this season. You know, without giving you guys details, we were able to meet a pretty good need for another church in the last week or so, just seeing the kingdom come for them. And it's been pretty amazing to be able to do things like that. So if you brought something to give, just hold it in your hand. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom, not just here, but in the world. Lord, and we ask that you would continue to multiply what we need to come in. And we thank you, Lord, for the giver. I pray that you would meet the needs that they have in their life, that things would happen in their life, that doors would be unlocked in their lives as they give. We thank you, Lord, for a good soil. And we want to see fruit grow in this soil. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you did bring something to give, just put it in the basket in the back at your leisure. I'm going to invite Bob to come up. Bob's going to be sharing today.
So as I was preparing, takes me a little while to prepare some of my messages. I'm not quite as fluent. So I was preparing, finishing up a little bit last night and just reading it. And the Lord just kind of said something to me just to kind of start off with. And it's we were created for victory. Okay, amen. I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves of this. You know, sometimes when things are coming against us, you know, issues with finances or health or things like that, you know, sometimes we just really need to remind ourselves that we were created to thrive through this. And a lot of times we get these things that come against us, and then there's all these things that happen in the world where there's pandemic things going on, and you know, there's a lot of division and a lot of craziness going on in the world, and it just sometimes gets to be a little bit too much. And even in the church, you know, even though we have Jesus as our answer to everything, you know, it still affects us. And you know, sometimes we might feel a little bit of anxiety or depression, some worry, some fear, some things like that. But the truth is, none of that changes the truth that we're created for victory in all these things. We're created as a church to thrive. And sometimes I think that maybe when we feel like this, we feel these different emotions and stuff like that, you know, we're making these circumstances and these trials and these things a little bit bigger than God. Okay, and I think we just need to dial that back.
One of the scriptures that the Lord has showed me in that area is we run the race to win.
Absolutely.
He's even led me to pray for sport teams and people on the teams that are like,
that's great.
You know, that's a good scripture to know.
I like that. So I just want to kind of talk a little bit on how we respond to these trials. And some of these are blatant attacks by the enemy also. The church is being attacked pretty heavily. And the things that I've always seen is when that kind of stuff happens, the church thrives even more. So I'm, you know, there's some other kind of feelings, but there's also should be excitement because we know that we're going to win. We know the answer's here. We already know that we have the answer to all these things. But I feel like sometimes when we respond to these things coming against us in a defensive way, that we're letting these things come after us and we're just kind of defending ourselves from it, we have to kind of change that a little bit. Because we are put here to thrive and we are put here for this victory. And that means that we get to attack these things. So I want to go into Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28. Before I go there, something I have written down that when we respond to our trials or we respond to the enemy by what's going on, we're letting those things control us instead of responding to these things with how God wants us to respond to them. So it's always seek first the kingdom. And I think that goes with everything. So in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28, says, "Then God said, 'Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth.'" The enemy means to creep, right? It's a joke? Okay. What's that? Right over. That's okay. "So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, granting them full, certain authority, and said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it,'" or some versions say subdue, which means take by force, or to put it under our rule, putting it under our power, "and rule over or dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." And then in Genesis 2, verse 8, "And the Lord said, God planted a garden, an oasis, in the east, in Eden. Eden means delight, land of happiness. And he put man, who had formed or recreated there. So I, when I read this scripture, he put man and woman in the garden to have dominion, subdue, or subjugate it, and put under our power or take this by force. Did you ever wonder why? When I read this, you know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the enemy came in. He snuck in and did the things that he did. He brought lies and all these things. He placed us here in a place of delight and happiness to take the world by force because the enemy was already here. All the things that he brings, the chaos, the destruction, the stealing, the killing, destroying, that stuff was already here. And God put us here. You know, there's scriptures that talk about the fall of Lucifer and the angels and things like that. I believe that they were already here. And he put us in the midst of all that chaos to thrive and have victory and to beat these things that come against us. Let's see. In Psalms 23:5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows." God set us here to have dominion and that no one or nothing else will. We have to respond to our trials and our situations, our circumstances, even the attacks of the enemy, by what God has already said and is saying in the present moment in our lives, and not responding by our fears, our worry, and definitely not by what the enemy is doing to us. We have the full armor of God. We have the most powerful weapon ever created, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We have the Word of God as our weapon. Out of all the armor, the sword is the only one to attack with. And it's the most powerful weapon that we have. The Word of God conquers everything. The Word of God speaks into sickness and it's healed. And it speaks into finances and there's prosperity. And it speaks into depressions and addictions and things just go away. These things just don't mean anything anymore because we have Jesus. And in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as a division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, and both joints and marrow, deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart." We have the word of the living God that became flesh and died and was resurrected for our freedom. And that word lives in us in the Holy Spirit. We have this power and this authority that already has been given to us. We already live in this power and this authority. Sorry if I'm throwing some of the scriptures out. Matthew 4:4 says that, "But Jesus replied, 'It is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God or proceeds from the mouth of God.'" The word "proceeds" in the Greek means to continually flow. God is continually speaking these things into our lives. He's continually giving us the answers to everything that comes against us and things that we're, you know, he wants us to go after. You know, there's things in the world that I believe that he wants us to personally go. Not all of us, maybe together, maybe together, but he has purpose and he has use for what we are here to do. And I believe that, you know, all we have to do is say yes and walk in that purpose. And then in Isaiah 55:11, "So will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, unless useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The word of God, our sword, our weapon of attack, is continually flowing from the mouth of God for our specific situation. It has the power to fulfill what he is speaking, and the outcome will always be victory. So, a couple, I have a couple more scriptures, but the one next scripture I want to talk about, it's the same story. I want to read the first half out of Mark because it's a little more descriptive, and I'll read the second part in Matthew. There's a part of that scripture that not all the versions have. So I'm going to turn to Mark 9, verses 14 to 24. And when he came to the disciples, this is the story of the, I guess, epileptic boy, some versions have, or demonic, demon-possessed boy. It says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes disputing with him. Immediately when he saw him, all the people were amazed and running to him, greeting him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd had answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son, who is a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they could not cast it out. He answered them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then he brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown himself into the fire and into the water to destroy him, but if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So I just want you to picture this situation that's going on. And something that the Lord spoke to me is he doesn't care about the problem. He doesn't care about the issue. He cares that you're having the issues, but he doesn't care about the issue. I want to show you this. So you have this boy on the ground who's convulsing, who's foaming at the mouth, who's doing this stuff, right? And what does he do? He goes to the father. This boy is having this seizure and stuff, and he goes to the father, leaving this problem go. And he talks to the father. And I believe that part of the reason the boy didn't get healed is because of the father's unbelief. So the father didn't believe that the disciples could do it. So Jesus had to help the father's internal issue to see the outternal situation be healed. That demon meant nothing to Jesus. That demon will bow to Jesus and has to bow to Jesus. And that didn't even really concern him. What concerned him was the father's heart. So, you know, he goes to the father, and he needs to fix what's really broken, which was the father's heart. And as soon as he did that, the boy was healed. So the second part of that, that is in Matthew 17, verse 19 to 21. It says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Probably the second reason why the demon wasn't delivered out of the boy is because the father's unbelief and the disciples' unbelief. It says, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So this is the verse right here, verse 21, that not all the versions have it. I have it out of the New King James. It says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And I was always taught in this particular scripture that it was talking about the demon. But if you look at what happens in this discussion, the disciples come to Jesus with the problem. Jesus starts to talk to them about the answer. So when I read this, now, you know, you speak to your mountains and, you know, you speak to the demons, and prayer and fasting is supposed to bring you closer to God for those things to happen. But what I feel like Jesus is saying here is when he says, however, this kind does not go out by, except for by prayer and fasting, is the unbelief, not the demon. So he's speaking to their unbelief. And if you want your unbelief and your doubts and your fears and your worries to go away, you get into prayer and you fast. That's what prayer and fasting is for, is to bring you closer to God. Not to cast out demons or to heal. It's to live in your divine purpose and all the things and the authority that God gave us. And one of the ways I kind of feel like that we can fix this is actually in Mark 11, verse 20 to 24. It says, in the morning, as they were passing by, the disciples saw, this is the fig tree, the withered fig tree, and saw the fig tree that had withered away from the roots up. And remembering, Peter said to him, Rabbi, Master, look, the fig tree which you have cursed withered. Jesus replied, have faith in God constantly. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that which he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask in for in prayer in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. In this scripture, it always says to speak to your mountain. And you know, cast that into the sea. And I believe in that wholeheartedly, that you need to speak to your situations and speak to your attacks. But when I read this, Jesus says, speak to this mountain. And in the Bible, the fig tree always has different representations of different things throughout the entire Bible. And I believe in this particular scripture that the fig tree really is representing unfruitfulness. So what I think Jesus is saying here, what I feel like Jesus is saying here, is to speak that all the things, when it says to speak to this mountain, he's saying to speak to all the things that are unfruitful in our hearts, to cast all those things into the sea, and our unbelief and our doubts and our feelings and, you know, maybe feelings of unrighteousness or unforgiveness, all these things that kind of hold us back from being the created beings that we are. What if we speak to those mountains and free us from the things that keep us from the revelation of the finished work of the cross? All the things that keep us from living as sons and daughters, then we could speak with the authority to have the dominion over all the things that we've been given dominion over, which is the enemy, which is our sicknesses, and with all the mental health things. We have the power and the authority to speak to those things when we no longer want that fear, we no longer want that, and we get the understanding that we are here to attack. We are not here to defend ourselves. We are here to take it to whatever's coming to us, or coming against us. We have to live from a perspective that the war is already won. And I think we all know that. We read that, and I believe that we believe in that. As a church, I believe that we believe that we have already won, and we get to live from that perspective. And what if we take that and receive it and go after the things that are causing us any kind of grief or depression or anxieties and worries? We go crush that thing in the name of Jesus. What if we had the attitude, and when something, that attitude, and when something comes against us, it also is coming after God? You know, Jesus says, if they hate you, they first hated me. If they come after us, you know, it's kind of almost as they're coming after Jesus, because they're trying to go through us to get to him. And you know, the list of freedoms that come from you know, the name of Jesus is endless. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. And there's nothing that he won't do for us. You know, he split the sea. You know, and some of these things are, you know, just hard to even picture. You know, when he split the sea and when he had Noah build this gigantic ark, which took, you know, you don't even know how many years it must have taken to build something like that. But it's just that being that willingness to say, okay, I believe in what you have created me for. And we'll go into to Proverbs 21, verses 30 to 31. There's no human wisdom or understanding or counsel that can prevail against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance and victory belong to the Lord. We get to live in that. We get to live in that power and authority. We get to live in that relationship with Jesus. And then if we want to go to 1 Samuel, if not, I'll read it. It's 1 Samuel, I think I touched on this last time, I was sharing. 1 Samuel 17, verses 46 and 47. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give you the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that when all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save with the sword or with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us. I believe our response always needs to be to go to God. We go to his word and seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and these things will be added to us. In Matthew, that comes from Matthew 6:33. Why did Jesus command us to seek first the kingdom? Because all victory is there. All victory is there. You know, God is his kingdom. Everything we need is in the love of God. He has and will continue to supply all our needs, whether it's our basic necessities or whatever we need to live from victory to victory, you know, from glory to glory. And I believe we live our eternal life now, so we can live in victory in this eternal life, and the next eternal life will be even more glorious. So I want to close with this. 1 John says, I'm not sure why I didn't have the verse. The one who participates or practices sin, separating himself from God and offending him by acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion is of the devil, and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. The purpose of God, or the Son of God, appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. I believe that we follow in those footsteps, so to speak, that we have pretty much taking over. You know, we have the authority to take over where Jesus left off. We have been given the power and the authority over all of our trials or situations or circumstances, you name it, sickness, finances, you know, disease. We have the power and the authority over all these things. We have the power of the living God, the creator of the universe inside of us. We get to partner with him to attack the things that try to keep us from living in our created purpose and created value. We have the power and the authority to attack the things that keep us from living as sons and daughters and living in that love and living in his presence. So I just want to encourage everybody to just remember that in every situation that we are created for victory. We are put here on this earth to thrive and to reign and to rule over all things, no matter what they are. Any kind of sickness, any kind of disease, any kind of financial struggles, mental health issues. We have the power and authority living inside of us to attack these things and crush them. And not just for ourselves, but for everybody else. You know, sometimes, you know, I listen to different teachings, and one of the guys I had listened to before was a guy actually from Pennsylvania. He lives in Texas. Was Todd White, and this guy would just go everywhere, and everybody that he ran into, he would just pray for them, no matter whether that he could see a physical, you know, disability with them. You know, he felt that he would get a word of knowledge over someone's life. And you know, he said, well, who, you know, I was just listening to one of his teachings, and he said, who should you pray for? Who do you pray for? He said, everyone. Everyone. So when we live in this power and the authority, we know that we can pray for everyone and expect to see his will be done here on earth. So I just want to encourage everybody to live from that perspective, live from that power and authority. You know, if you see someone that you have, you know, that has a physical, you know, disability or physical need, pray for them and expect the kingdom to come. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for all the things that you have done that we know and that we don't know. We thank you for the things that we get to physically see and physically be a part of. And we thank you for the things that you do behind the scenes, Lord. I just ask that you open our hearts to receive your word more, to seek your presence more, to come into your throne room more, and just enjoy all the things that you have given us and our purpose. That when we get to attack things, it's not out of an anger, but if it's out of joy. It's out of the joy of seeing the things that come against us destroyed and the things that come against others destroyed, Father. We just thank you that we get to be a part of that and partner with you in just subduing this earth and bringing it back to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Souderton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping.